So that's around like 15K MRR, if I can do some quick math.
A little more than that. So MRR is 20.
So welcome back to Indie Worldwide. Today we have with us Shar from Billflow. How is it going, Shar?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. You want to give us a one sentence or two sentence, what is Billflow?
Yeah, absolutely. The one sentence would be the vision is to help online businesses earn recurring revenue easier and faster with no code. And if I tell you like how that came into play is that billing and pricing is still a hard piece of every startup. And I'm not sure if you've heard of OpenView Ventures. They do a lot in SaaS. And part of the research is showing that one of the biggest levers to grow as a startup is pricing. So updating your pricing model can have it's the least amount of work for the most amount of return in terms of profit. And because of the complexities of billing, it's very hard for startups to usually update their pricing, update their integrations, and our vision is
You
to
have an
make that easier.
example of a kind of pricing change you've seen have an outsized effect?
Yeah, I mean, I can use ourselves as an example. So one of the things we did ourselves was we updated our pricing at least like once every quarter, based on the benchmark we had from the last quarter. And you can really like, for example, like upping the prices of we upped our prices once to tailor to the customers who were more serious about the product or who were at the stage who could use the product and pay for the product because the churn was higher on the lower tier customers. So upping the prices reduced the churn a bit, but also it decreased the conversion. So you could really play around with your entire onboarding flow and the funnel by just tweaking your pricing model, just changing the prices higher and lower. The other side is what gets very difficult is actually changing your pricing model itself, not the actual amount of pricing. And if you dig into PLG movement, product-led
That's
growth,
PLG. Okay.
it's product-led growth is a new term, well, somewhat new term, a few years now, that your product basically works as a lever to grow your business. So most of your instead of spending so much money on marketing, you're spending your effort mostly to make the product so seamless for the users that the time to value is decreased as much as possible. And in order to monetize perfectly for your business model, you have to understand like what the user does in your product and what metrics to actually monetize on. So as an early stage startup, all the way through your first like $10 million, you need to experiment enough to find that right model for your business and then tweak the actual pricing of it. So going from, let's say, per user pricing to revenue-based pricing to any sort of like anything that the user does within your application could be a pricing model change that's very difficult for a company to do.
So maybe let's use stick on Billflow as an example. What is your current pricing model and how many customers are you serving?
Yeah, so our pricing model is a combination of flat and transaction per transaction volume. So if you're an early stage under 1 million ARR, I think it's $75 a month and 0.9% of the transactions every month. As you grow, the transaction amount decreases and the flat increases. That's so that our users who are larger don't want to pay transaction amount, and the ones that are smaller don't have the budget to pay a larger flat fee, which is why we build it the way we build it. We currently have around 200, north of 220 SaaS companies who are using Billflow in production today, and about 5,000 accounts, I think.
Wow. So that's around like 15K MRR, if I can do some quick math.
A little more than that. So MRR is 20. And if you add like annual contract value and so on, we're closing around like 30 plus at the moment.
How big is the team?
Team of five and five founders and a contractor, actually. So six people total.
Oh, five co-founders and a contractor. Yeah. How is the like founder dynamics between the five of you? How do you manage that?
Great question. Yeah, I mean, so everyone were friends from the day one when we started. I actually knew every person either from school years before or from some work that I did with them in the same industry. So the first few years was kind of understanding each other better of how to, it's kind of like marriage in some ways, this partnership, you know, understanding
a five-way polyamorous
marriage. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know, I think one of the best decisions I made was to have like a large team of co-founders. At some point when you when I learned all of the mistakes that like when I made enough mistakes to kind of count myself as you know, be able to do a startup next time and not make those mistakes, I realized that I wouldn't have been able to grow as much if I didn't have four other people who were as passionate about, you know, the vision and the product as if I did it by myself. So that was a great learning. Like I think I exponentially grew as a person because I had to balance my dynamics and balance how we do work with, you know, four other people. Yes, in the early days when you're not profitable yet, five co-founders might be too much, and keeping that together is a very difficult thing. But once you become self-sustained and you can actually handle the payroll, then you have five amazing hires who already know everything about the business that they can help grow the business. So there's a trade-off.
Are you profitable right now? Are you able to handle the payroll? Are you paying
yes.
yourself?
Yes. The only person who's not getting paid is me, I think. The only person who's not getting paid is myself, which is fine. I was fortunate enough in the previous careers that I saved enough for running this business so far, and everything goes back to the business. So we are handling everyone else in the team.
So everybody's handled. Are you profitable after payroll? Or is payroll basically 100% of revenue?
Yes. But then we kind of anything left, usually on the quarterly basis, we spend on any marketing or any necessary tools that we would need to pay for. And I love paying annual contracts for tools like Intercom. If I could pay for Google Cloud, I would have done that like on an annual basis. You get the cheaper discount and you kind of, you already know if you're going to stick with the tool or not. So
you have a lot of like server costs for this business?
No, actually, our server costs are, I think, around 2,500.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
No,
especially not for managing 5,000 accounts.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 50 cents an account, right? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
So five founders plus one, you're able to pay everybody except for yourself. When did you start working on this? How long ago did you launch Billflow?
Oh, good question. 4 years ago, but what you see on the website and the product today is only 2 years old. So the first 2 years of it, we built another product with basically a different name, same vision, same direction. But after 2 years, we realized it didn't grow enough. We made a lot of mistakes building the platform. It was clunky. So we scripted completely. We pivoted and like built the 5% of it that we knew people needed based on all of our conversations with customers, which we didn't have in the initial version. So we launched what you see on the site September 2019. So it's been 2 years that we are actually at it with the current solution.
How many customers did you bring from version one to the current?
Almost nothing.
Version. Okay.
Almost so nothing. Like handful, like less than 10. Yeah.
How did you get from zero to about 5,000 accounts in the last 2 years?
A lot of it has been inbound marketing. So one thing that did let's see, three things that has done really well for us. 35% of our total traffic and leads come from our Google content, like SEO content that we've written in our blogs and did guest blogs and so on. And the rest of it is split between partners. So no-code partners and Stripe partnership. So if you go into a Stripe partnership page, you could choose us. That has done amazing as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of nice landing pages on your website.
Thank you.
A lot of like integrations and things like that. So 35% from SEO. Where did you say the rest came from?
Partnerships. So partnerships. Whether like partnerships and integrations. So you could split that, like because of the nature of the product, like integrating with things like Bubble. I'm not sure if
The no code builder.
Exactly.
So what does an integration look like with them? Is it just look like it's a native Bubble component? Do you maintain your branding? Mm-hmm. Tell me about those partnerships.
Yeah, so Bubble is actually very different from the other ones because like Webflow and website builders, you can drag and drop like the code snippet and you have your billing pages. But for Bubble allows you to actually build plugins. So someone who's building their SaaS or MVP with Bubble, they could drag and drop like customer portal, checkout, pricing pages directly from their Bubble builder. Into as a component, there's like components for each of the billing pages that we have.
Is that white labeled as a Bubble component, or do they know that they're a Billflow customer?
They have to install the plugin, so it is okay. It has the Billflow thing, but you can take the branding off for your end customer if you're using it. So
nice. So what kind of growth are you seeing right now, month over month?
It changes from one month over month, to be honest. And I think I contribute that partly because billing is something companies look at cycles, kind of. Pricing and billing, there are cycles in a year that they take a look at it. Usually a good month could look like 30 to 50%. And a bad month could look like 10% ish. And a year over year, it's hard to say because it's only 2 years. It's been over 100%, which I hope that you know, first year was 300%, second year is 200%. So
well, even if it stays at the worst case, like 10% month over month, you should be able to afford to pay yourself in a year.
Exactly. The point is, there is a time in the life of the startup that the growth needs to be high enough that would be worth the time that you spend as a founder, because as a founder, you could be spending your time anywhere. So that's always fully, the top of the mind.
Are you fully bootstrapped right now?
Yes. I'm a big believer.
From aforementioned previous success.
Yeah.
In Shar's career. Solid. What is your plan to keep that growth engine running?
So one thing is as I mentioned, PLG a few times, product-led growth. That's a market that we're going after, which targets companies, SaaS companies particularly, who are mostly B2B SaaS companies around like a couple of million in ARR to like 20 million ARR. Those folks are the ones who can who need us to save them the development resources on billing integrations and would be willing to pay anywhere from like 10,000 per year up to like 40, 50 per year annual contract value. So kind of, you can call it moving up market is the game at the moment. Just so bringing the revenue up and really being on par with the value we provide. I do want in the future to be us giving out the platform for free for early stage indie hackers, which that's a community. And that's why I kind of joined Indie Worldwide, because I started, bootstrapping, and I really appreciate and respect every founder who builds their thing. And I want to contribute to giving them the tools that could help them potentially. The hard part of that is when you're early stage, you have to also keep up with the cost of support for those lower accounts. That's not possible until you're just profitable enough to be able to afford that.
Well, we're glad to have you at Indie Worldwide, that's for sure. Maybe you could walk me through a hypothetical partnership. What are the, give me an example company you might target and how would you work with them?
As a Billflow user, or what exactly?
For this like product-led growth strategy that you're pursuing, I'm having a little trouble understanding what it looks like at the execution level.
So product-led growth is more of a positioning than a partnership. So it's same as saying that I would like to target like no-code in movement, and the user segment that's in no-code is like smaller startups who are just starting or bootstrapping. PLG mm-hmm. is just the positioning of a that we're going after, that we're positioning ourselves as a no-code tool that's built for a more enterprise level, SMB level company which can scale for that size of a business, basically. Gotcha.
So you're going after those companies with like cold email outreach and like high touch sales.
LinkedIn is one that has worked well, but more importantly, I'm very much into providing value upfront, and I think the best way to do so is through content. So we're building a lot of content right now for like pricing models and how to model your pricing, how pricing should be done in a growing business, value metric pricing strategy for product-led growth. So your pricing, like I said in the beginning, should be based on the value you provide your user. And to figure that out, there's the entire process that you should adopt over time.
So what's the like 3-year game plan for Billflow?
I'll give you the 5-year one that I know, and that is to, yeah. There's so many places in a SaaS business that your end user interacts with your pricing and billing, and what we want to be is the obvious no-code tool that you just drag and drop any portion of your pricing model into your app, and it basically handles your pricing metrics. So you could have a dashboard that says these different pricing that you experimented over time have performed, using this chart. So you could say like which pricing model actually worked out best for you, generated the most amount of revenue for you, and you double down on that.
Right on. Do you have any goals around like revenue, or do you have like an exit strategy you're aiming towards?
Yeah. Yes. So revenue is something that could, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because, yes, I still have the goal of hitting the 1 million. That's a big milestone. And I hope that we get there sometimes Q1, 2 next year. But having a revenue goal in mind could make us decide on feature sets or use cases or path for a product that's not really aligned with the end vision. So mm-hmm. I try to get away from just thinking about how fast I can grow this thing, and more like what value can we provide users? What are the main problems in this market that we're serving that we could really help solve? And the money is the byproduct of being successful at that.
All right. We've been talking to Shar from Billflow. Shar, do you have any closing words for us? Maybe some advice for an indie hacker just getting started?
Just get started. I think the worst the worst thing is that you just have to close it down and start another idea or get a job. So I think it's always great to experiment, and failure is inevitable. So don't be scared.